Welcome to the podcast of the United Church of Bogotá. We are a Bible-based church ministering to the English-speaking community in Bogotá, Colombia. We invite you to join our diverse fellowship as we encounter God in worship and experience the impact of His grace on every part of our lives and in our world. To learn more, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.
Amen. Sometimes speechlessness is the only right response in the face of something incredible. Have you seen the Northern Lights before? Or a sky full of stars on a night with no pollution? Have you seen someone you love achieve something that they've dreamed of? Maybe it was an embrace, a farewell embrace, but nothing was said. Moments that move us often are met with speechlessness. Maybe it was when you saw your child for the first time, or when you heard an unexpected, "I love you." The moments of transformation in our lives leave us speechless. And so I'm a little nervous today because I have to talk about the resurrection. But the two women that saw Jesus the day that he rose didn't say a word. Throughout this passage, they see an earthquake. They see an angel roll away a stone. They even hear from that angel, and they see Jesus himself. And there is not one recorded word in this passage that they speak. But I think we can still hear them today. From our passage today, I want us to see what these women saw on the day that Jesus rose from the dead, and then I want us to do what they did. See what they saw in Jesus and then do what they did. Let's pray one more time. Jesus Christ, we thank you that this passage invites us to come near to you. Help us by faith to do that even now. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing that these women saw was that Jesus was a man of sorrows, and they went to him. Verse 1 says this, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb." Now, during Jesus' earthly ministry, the sinners, the sufferers, and those who were sorrowful always wanted to get close to him. This group of people understood their weakness and their hopelessness, but when they were with Jesus, they were happy. Think about the children. Often in the Gospels, children came to Jesus, and he sat down with them and played with them. The guilt-ridden and the shame-filled tax collectors who longed for Jesus, what did he do? He went and sat down and he had a meal with them. Those who were sick and diseased grasped for him, and Jesus happily touched them. Even the tortured, the demon-possessed, of whom Mary Magdalene was one. If you remember the end of Mark's gospel, it says that Mary Magdalene had 7 demons cast out of her by Jesus. Even the tortured wanted to get close to Jesus, and they found peace when they were near him. It's interesting here that these women probably knew that Jesus had said something about rising on the third day. Jesus said it 3 times in the Gospel of Matthew. And they didn't show up on Saturday. They came on Sunday. But we also hear from Mark's Gospel that they really had intended to anoint his body with some spices as part of the process. But whether it was an act of faith or a sense of duty, these sorrowful women wanted to be near Jesus, even if he was in the tomb. And so, on this first Easter Sunday, these women went to be near to Jesus. You know, it's really easy and right that on Easter Sunday, we talk a lot about joy. If there ever was a day to stand up and shout for joy, this is the one, isn't it? And yet, we know that hardships and sorrows don't just disappear, even on this most blessed of days. Maybe you've been joyfully married for 50 years, but now you have to watch your spouse struggle with their health. Perhaps you've only been newly married, and you're not sure you're even going to make it 5 years. Maybe you've trusted someone with something intimate, but they've gone and shared it with someone else. Or maybe, like these two Marys, you feel that God is distant and gone. Whatever your sorrow is today, there is wisdom in looking in what these two women did. Even though they were sorrowful, they went to be near Jesus because they knew that he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and many people found comfort when they were near him. I don't know what your suffering is today, what your sorrow is. I bet most of the people in this room don't even know what it is. It feels too dark, too heavy to let someone in. But I want to tell you this. I do know that Jesus is available to meet your sorrow. These women, in their sorrow, went to be near Jesus. And whatever strength you have today, I encourage you, muster it up. Call out to Jesus. Help me. Maybe you've been far from him. Open God's word and say, show me who you are today, Jesus. Or if you're feeling bold, after this service, find someone you trust. Find a pastor or elder and say, can you pray for me? I've got sorrow, but I want to get near Jesus. These women saw that Jesus was a man of sorrow, and they went to be near him. But just a few moments later, they saw that Jesus was also the God of all glory, and they worshiped him. You know, humans are always chasing glory, aren't they? We want to reach out and touch it. What is glory? The Old Testament word for glory is kavod, which means weight or heaviness. Like gravity gives us weight, glory grounds us and makes us feel like we matter, that we're going to make a difference. I don't know if you're into golf, but last weekend was the premier golf event of the year called the Masters. And Rory McIlroy finally won the Masters and did what only 6 people in history have done. He won all 4 now of the major golf events. And as he hit that final putt, he fell to his knees and began to weep. Because he knew in that moment, he was touching a little bit of glory. He knew he would go down in the history books, and he knew a few minutes later he would get to put on that glorious green jacket, symbolizing his excellence. We all want to touch glory. We want to know that we matter. And while most of us, like Rory, won't get to do it in front of millions of viewers, we try to find ways to touch that sense of eternity. Weddings are meant to evoke glory, aren't they? The wonder, the unity. When you have your child and you see them for the first time, you taste a little bit of glory. It's why we pursue success in our jobs and excellence in our hobbies and activities. We want to know that we matter. But like the green jacket, all of these things fade. The glory is fleeting. But in the text today, we see that the resurrection gives us an encounter with and the possibility of relationship with the God of all glory. Look at verses 2 to 4. It says, behold, there was a great earthquake. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of the guards, and for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. All of this is just describing one angel in the host of the triune God. If this is the glory and power that the women and the guards witnessed from but one angel, what must the glory of the eternal Son of God be like? Well, we know what the women do in response to this. They hear one word from Jesus, "Greetings!" And they fall down and they grab his feet and they worship him. See, when we pursue our own glory, one of two things always happens. If we're successful for a while, we get puffed up and prideful. Yes, we're doing it. But if we pursue glory and excellence and we come up short, we get downcast. We grow demoralized. But when we see the glory of Jesus, there's only one response. We get near to his feet and we worship him. This week, I went for a bike ride with Dennis. And let's just say it was probably the hardest bike ride I've ever done. Meanwhile, as I'm huffing and puffing, Dennis is filming me with his camera, riding up Patios one-handed effortlessly. So that's kind of what my day was like. But after that event, he took me off to kind of a side road. And we rode to an overlook. And you could see the whole city. And Dennis said, "This is where I like to stop and pray for my family and pray for the city that they might know Jesus." You know, Dennis has been gifted by God to exercise and to challenge himself, and he has found ways to use that passion to experience the glory of God. Who was here on Friday night for the Good Friday service? The worship team, through their skill and their preparation, invited us into an encounter with the glory of God. Maybe you're an artist. Maybe you bake. Create. Bake. Do these things with excellence and joy. Maybe you are gifted at making money. Do it with excellence. Do it with integrity and then give it away. Maybe you're just an incredible listener. You love to host people in your home. Whatever God has wired into you, it's not meaningless. These are avenues for us to experience his glory and turn it into worship, not just for us, but for those around us. And when these women saw the glory of God, they worshiped him. What is it that God has gifted you? What are you passionate about? Turn it into an opportunity of praise, of worship, and bring people into it. It is a ton of fun, even if you're sweating and out of breath riding up a high hill. The women saw God's unfathomable glory and power. And because Jesus rose from the dead and atoned for our sins, our longings for glory and power can actually be fulfilled in Jesus. Because here's the amazing thing about glory. Glory can be shared. When Rory won, he wasn't the only one celebrating. His wife held him. His little daughter climbed up into his arms. Even his caddy was jumping up and down and celebrating because they got a glimpse of glory by being close to Rory that day. Do you all know that this is what is offered to us? That right now, we can experience in part the glory of the risen Jesus. And one day, we will get to experience that glory fully and forever. Amen. This is what the women saw. But they saw one more thing. Finally, after seeing Jesus as the man of sorrows and running to him and beholding him as the God of glory and falling down in worship before him, they discovered that Jesus was also the fountain of forgiveness. And they couldn't help but share it with others. In a popular Netflix TV show, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, there's a gut-wrenching scene where Joel Maisel is in a drunken stupor on the anniversary of having cheated on his wife, and he looks up to the heavens and he shouts, "Can I be forgiven? I want to be forgiven." When you and I take a long, hard look at our failures and the consequences that they've brought in our lives, we ask a similar question. We hope for restoration. We need forgiveness. On Easter morning, do you know who was probably asking the same question? Can I be forgiven? Who? Who was asking on Easter morning? Peter, yeah, the disciples. The disciples were probably wondering, can I be forgiven? See, they had walked with Jesus for 3 years through amazing ups and downs, but in the final hours when Jesus needed him most, they ran away from him. They scattered, they hid, they denied even knowing him. They were wondering, can I be forgiven today? Well, in verse 10, after comforting the women and saying, do not be afraid, Jesus says this to them, go and tell my brothers that I will meet them in Galilee. Brothers, he says. Jesus, the first thing he says about the people that betrayed him as he rose from the dead is this, they are my brothers still, and I want to see them. Can you believe the grace and forgiveness that are gushing from Jesus Christ, that as he rises from the dead, he wants the disciples to know, I want to see you still. You are not dead to me. You thought I was dead, but you're never going to be dead to me. And so these women get to take this message of forgiveness to the disciples. I imagine them knocking on the door and Peter opening it, and they say, Peter, Jesus is alive. He calls you, brother, and he wants to see you. I bet Peter wanted to turn away, avoid eye contact, too good to be true. He remembers what he did. Do you ever feel like you've failed Jesus? Like you've done things that can't be forgiven? Well, you probably have. Your sin separates you from God, and it hurts the other people around you. But Jesus died and rose again so that you will always be able to call on him as both your Lord and your brother. It is amazing that Jesus seems to almost anticipate the faith of the disciples. Jesus calls them brothers, but where are the disciples? They're not even aware that Jesus is risen. They're still hiding behind locked doors. But Jesus knows that when they see him, they will worship him. And so he says, you are my brothers. Somebody here probably needs to hear this word today. Jesus is your brother. He is near to you. He is the fountain of all forgiveness. And forgiveness is what really starts to transform us. In Les Miserables, Jean Valjean is a hardened ex-criminal. He's bitter after 19 years in prison. And when he's released, no one wants to help him. But a kind bishop takes him in. But Valjean is still stuck in some of his own old ways. And despite the man's kindness, he steals silver from him and runs away. He's tracked down by the police, brought before the bishop, and they say, here's the man that stole from you. And the bishop embraces Jean Valjean. And he says, here, you forgot this silver as well. Jean Valjean is confused. What is going on? And then the bishop turns to him alone, and he says this, with this silver, I have bought you back for God. This act of undeserved grace breaks something in Valjean, and he spends the rest of his life not taking from others, but helping others. He's committed to mercy and living with integrity, not because of guilt, but because grace gave him a new identity. This is what Jesus has done for you. Undeserved grace has been bought for you, not by silver, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the disciples who eventually receive this message from the women, it changed their lives. The resurrection changed the disciples for the better, even though their circumstances got a whole lot worse. See, when the religious elites and the Roman authorities came for Jesus, the disciples shuddered in fear. But after the resurrection, when the same folks came for them, they stood fast. How do we explain this? History tells us that many of the same cowardly men that were not there at the cross with the women and did not rise early to go to the tomb with them, that they ended up giving their lives for Jesus, sacrificially telling of this story of resurrection and happily dying. Think about Peter. This was the one who thought he was better than everyone else. "I'll never deny you, Lord," he said. And then, of course, he does. But this guy became a man of both humility and of boldness. History tells us that under the Emperor Nero, he was tried and crucified. And in typical Peter fashion, trying to one-up everyone, he says, "Don't give me a normal crucifixion. I want to be crucified upside down. I'm not even worthy to be crucified like Jesus." And Doubting Thomas, we still call him Doubting Thomas for his hesitancy to believe. After he finally believed and saw the holes in Jesus' hands, history tells us he went off to India. He began to evangelize and baptize and spread the message of Jesus there. But like Peter, he met a similar fate. On a hill outside of modern-day Chennai, history tells us that Hindu priests speared him to death because they grew tired of his work. What do we do with this? How are they so steadfast in the midst of so many worse situations? One of the key fruits of the resurrection is this. When we really see Jesus, we have a hope that is greater than our present circumstances. And that's good news, because as we mentioned at the beginning, life can be cruel. Man, too often we are just a punching bag being hit left and right by the circumstances of life, and we don't know what to do with it. But as we slow down and look at the risen Jesus, we are reminded that this is not the end. That though we are wasting away, there is a day he is coming to renew all things. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is a man of sorrows. If you feel sorrow today, I encourage you, run to him. Jesus is a God of all glory. Worship him. Bow down. And Jesus is the fountain of all forgiveness, eagerly wanting to pour it out on those who are least deserving, like you and me. Drink from this fountain and be saved. If that's you today, we'd love to talk with you after service. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love for you to run to Jesus, to worship him, and to drink of his forgiveness and be free. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that the resurrection is good news for sinners like us. Lord, we confess we still are battered by life circumstances. We give them more power than the power of the resurrection. Lord, we don't want to be detached from this world. We know that this world is heavy and broken. We want to feel with those that are sorrowful. We want to feel with those that are struggling. But we also want to have a hope that's deeper than these circumstances. May you grant that to us by faith. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information or would like to support the ministry of UCB, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.